Well, welcome everyone. It's my joy to be able to preach this morning as well. If you're visiting this morning, my name's Phil Smith. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's an honor that you would choose to be with us this morning. We're in the middle of a series, and we've had a couple guest speakers, and so we've taken a little break from our series, but we're going to pick it back up today that we started at the beginning of the year. And so it's Jesus revealed, and we've been exploring this truth of who is Jesus. What do we really believe? What do you personally believe who Jesus is? And that sort of comes out of Matthew 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It wasn't this global question; it was a personal question. Who do you say that I am? And so we're pressing in for a deeper revelation of who Jesus really is. And there's two sort of core things we're after. One, it's that we know there's a greater measure of abundant life for us to access in Jesus. And those in our spheres of influence are longing for us to reveal the authentic Jesus. If we can't access him, we can only give away what we receive, right? All right. So we can't give away the truth of Jesus that we don't know. We could talk about it, but if we know that Jesus, we have authority to release that into people's lives. And that's what we're pressing in for. And the lens that he said to sort of look at was John, the apostle John, the disciple John, the one that Jesus loves, right? And so we've been going through the Gospel of John, and we're in the middle of chapter 8. We've covered John chapter 1 all the way to chapter 8, verse 30. And we've identified 83 revelation statements about who Jesus is in those 7.5 chapters. And so today we're going to finish John chapter 8. And if you remember a few weeks ago, if you were here or you listened on the podcast, the beginning of John chapter 8, there's a lot of confusion and debate over who Jesus is. And the people who are listening to him in this particular gathering, some believe that he's a lunatic. Right? He's out of his mind. He is insane. Others believe that he's a liar, that he's making claims that he can't back up, that it's his whole very presence is a farce. And then some believe he's the Lord. And we end verse 30, where it says that many believed in him. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 31. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 8, verse 31. And it says this: "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" If you abide in my word, right? So that word abide, it means to remain in, or to fully accept, or fully received, act in accordance with. Right? So there's this picture that if you abide, if you fully accept my word, if you fully receive my word, if you act in accordance with my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. We could fast forward to John 14, right? Where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who's the truth? It's Jesus. He hasn't revealed that yet. Where we're at in John. But the reality is, he says, the truth will set you free. It's not just an idea of truth. It's a person who is truth, Jesus. The kingdom's all about relationship and intimacy. The level that we press in to know him, the level that we abide in him, receive from him, is the measure that then we have to release to others, and the depth of intimacy that we share with him. Verse 33, it goes on, it says, "They answered him, 'We are the offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, then you will be free indeed.'" So the religious leaders that are listening to him, they're saying, "Hey, wait a minute. We're offspring of Abraham. We have a father, right? We've never been enslaved by anyone. And Jesus responds and he says, everyone who practices sin is enslaved to sin. He says, you don't realize how enslaved you actually are. If the Son sets you free, then you'll be free indeed. It's the only way to get free from sin. It's the only way that you can become free from this sin cycle that's in your life. It's Jesus. Verse 37 says, I know, this is Jesus speaking, I know you're the offspring of Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Jesus says, I know you, to the people that he's speaking with. I know you're the offspring of Abraham in the flesh, right? Remember, as we've been going through the chapters in John, we're seeing this battle between flesh and spirit. People are hearing him from a perspective of flesh. Jesus is speaking from a perspective of spirit, and they're missing one another. So Jesus says, I know you're the offspring of Abraham in the flesh, but I speak what I have seen with my father. You do what you've heard from your father. They're making a claim, we're the sons of Abraham. And then they yell it again. They say, Abraham's our father. And Jesus says, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. He's speaking in the spirit. Remember, Abraham is the father of faith. Jesus said, I told you the truth that I heard from God, and you seek to kill me. That's not what Abraham did. What did Abraham do when he heard the voice of the Lord? He believed God. It goes on in verse 41. It says, they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, then you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Ouch. Imagine being one of those in the crowd that day. They yell, we're not illegitimate. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. We have one father, even God. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God. He sent me. But you can't bear to hear this or receive this truth because you are of your father, the devil. That's tricky. His desire, the devil's desire, is to murder and lie. There is no truth in him. I tell you the truth, but you don't believe me. Why? Because you're under your father, the devil, who is the father of lies. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear them is that you are not of God. Verse 48, the Jews answer him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? You get some of their response, right? Jesus is speaking truth directly in a way that they are not ready to hear. And they're trying to fit him into some place or category. And so the first they say, you're a Samaritan. They hated the Samaritans, right? The Samaritans were like dogs to the Jewish people. And then they say, you have a demon, right? They don't know what to do with what Jesus is saying. They don't know how to respond to what he's saying. And he goes on in verse 49, he says, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon, because Abraham died, as did all the prophets. Yet you said, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Or the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. So Jesus is saying, I don't have a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, which, unbeknown to you, that ultimately dishonors the Father. I don't seek my own glory, Jesus is saying. He says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Is he talking flesh or spirit? Spirit. Are you greater than Abraham who died? Flesh. How could you say that? And Jesus replies, I'm not seeking to glorify myself. My Father, he glorifies me. Right? Remember, Jesus is the one who's the beloved Son. The Father has made that known. And he rests in that truth, even in the face of the opposition that's coming at him in this encounter. Jesus says, you have not known God, but I know him. If I were to say that I didn't know him, then I would be a liar like you. I do know him, and I keep his word. I abide in his word. Remember? I fully have accepted the Father's word. I fully have received the Father's word, and I act in accordance with the Father's word. That's why when we look at Jesus, we can see the Father. Verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus and Abraham rejoiced that he would see this day, right? See my day. And he saw it by faith and was glad. Do you get that? Abraham's the father of faith. He looked ahead in time. He accessed it by faith of the Savior. And they say in the flesh, right? You're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you saw Abraham? And Jesus makes a pretty strong claim. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Who's I am? God. I am, right? Remember Moses? Exodus 3? How does God reveal himself? I am. So what is their response? They pick up stones ready to kill him. Right? And it says, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. I wish we were there. I wish we had the video, because I don't know what that's like. Where did he hide? What did he do? Right? We don't know. You can only imagine in your mind what that was like. But the reality is that it wasn't his time for them to kill him. Interesting passage, right? You guys like it? All right. Who's the Jesus revealed in John chapter 8, 31 to 59? I just have four. The first is that Jesus is the one who sets you free. He's the one who sets you free. Freedom from slavery of sin. Freedom from death. There's no other way. No other good effort. No other strategy that you can try to access. Jesus is the only way for us to have freedom from the slavery of sin. or freedom from death. And so if you feel enslaved in any area of your life, you probably need to press in more for Jesus. Jesus, I need to know the truth of who you are, what you paid for, right? Because your sin has already been paid for, past, present, and future, right? So if you're living in a cycle of sin, it's because you've said yes to it again. The reality, it has no power or authority over you. Jesus has already taken that. And the truth is you just need to press into the truth of what he's already given you. But he modeled a life that we can access freedom from sin. Jesus never sinned. We can access freedom from sin in partnership with the Holy Spirit by the grace that he pours out to us. You're never stuck. You're never trapped. It has no power over you or me if you have a relationship with Jesus. Right? The second is that Jesus is the one who honors his father. We already have looked at in John how Jesus honored his mother. But Jesus honors his father. He lives to please the Father. Everything he says, everything he does in an effort to please the Father. And he represents the Father authentically. And so everyone in Jesus' sphere of influence has a window into or a lens into who is the Father? Who is the Father really? What's he really like? What does he really care about? What is he really passionate about? And that's one of the things that Jesus lived for. We're meant to live the same way. Just like Jesus. That everything we would do, everything that we say would honor the Father. Is it possible? With Jesus it is. I believe. If you feel like you're not sure, ask him about it. Talk with him about it. What is it? What would it look like for me to be an authentic ambassador of the Father? The third one, Jesus is one who keeps his Father's word. So here we see the coupling of obedience and trust, right? It takes both in that relational connection, right? God calls us into things, and they're part of faith is to obey, to step into it. You can't step into something that God's calling you into unless you really trust him. That he's, what we've already said this morning, he sees you, he knows you, he loves you. He's for you. He's always good. Look at all the things we've looked at just in 8 chapters of John. Everything that Jesus had to walk through. Did all of it feel good? His life has been threatened how many times where they've tried to kill him? Doesn't feel very good to me. Maybe it does to you, but it doesn't to me, right? The reality is that's a hard thing to say yes to. I'm going to be obedient to what my Father's calling me to say and to do. And yet the reality was God's favor resting on Jesus the whole time? Yeah. And Jesus could trust him fully, wholly, without fear. The last one, revelation that I see is Jesus is I am. Ultimately, the translation, Jesus is God. He's God. Why did they pick up stones? Because he said that. They felt like that was blasphemous. He couldn't say that, right? And yet the truth is that Jesus, by his very own word, says, I am, equating himself with Father God. Who do you say Jesus is as you sit here this morning? Do you just know about these truths because you've read this chapter in John before? Or do you know Jesus as these truths? Are they real? Are they alive to you? Are there aspects regarding them about Jesus that you want to press into no more? He welcomes that. He longs for that, right? The kingdom is about intimacy and relationship. Jesus wants us to process things with him. He's not looking for robots who'll just do whatever. He wants intimacy with you. He wants to be known and he wants to know you more. And can you share these truths that are revealed in John chapter 8, 31 to 59 with integrity to those in your sphere of influence? And if not, why not? What would be a limiting thing? Maybe there's an aspect of it that you're not sure you're convinced of. That's okay. Process that with him, right? Maybe you're intimidated by the response that you might get, right? Maybe someone will pick up a stone because they don't want to hear you say that Jesus is God. Does that make sense? Are you convinced of the truth, though, of who he really is? Right? And are you willing to be an authentic ambassador of the kingdom and the truth of his word? Or that there's no other way to access freedom from the slavery of sin? It's only through Jesus. Not everybody is going to think that's a popular opinion. Do you believe it's true? Do you live as if it's true? Right? What could be blocking you from knowing the fullness of Jesus revealed in these verses? And are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take you deeper into encountering the fullness of who Jesus really is? Let's pray. Jesus, I do celebrate and worship the truth that you're revealing. As we study this passage of the Gospel of John, thank you for what jumps out in this sort of complex dialogue that you had with the Jewish leaders and other Jewish followers that were gathered around that day in the temple. We pray for the truth of what you reveal to us, that you're knowable, right? That you are someone we can press into. We can abide in your word. We can fully receive it. We can count on it. We can bank on it, that it's truth, and that the truth sets us free. And so, Lord, I pray that in the places where, even in this specific, these revelations, where there's question marks or places where it feels tricky because of the dialogue that feels like it's a harsh dialogue, I pray that you would give us clarity and a greater sense of insight into the truth of your word. And pray that we could rest in you. Yeah. And we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Yeah. Thank you for how you model the honoring the Father. What does that look like? What would it look like to live a life that honors the Father? We ask for individuals that are hungry for that, that you would pour out your grace, that we could entertain that or walk in the greater fullness of that, even this week. And we pray for just that sense of being obedient and trusting you, trusting your word. When you call us into something, when you lead us into something, that we can trust you because you're good and you're for us. And I pray for the places where there's wrestling, even in this room, of I'm not sure I can trust it. I don't know if that could really be God, right? Those types of question marks around things that we hear from you. And I just pray that there would be a greater level of drawing near to you, keeping our eyes locked on you, and then stepping out in faith, trusting in your goodness and your faithfulness, that you're with us and you're for us, and you're going to continue to guide us. Yeah. And then we celebrate the truth that you are I am. You are God. And we worship you. We choose to worship you and glorify you and honor you. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we celebrate who you are. And we thank you that you invite us into deep, deep relationship with you. You're not a distant God. You're not a far-off God. You're a God who's really close. You're not a God who hides from us. You're not a God who withholds your love from us. You have unconditional love at all times pouring out towards us. And we can choose to receive it or not. We can choose to enter into it or not. And I pray that this week that we would enter into your love in greater measures, right? More and more and more. And we ask that you would seal this word this morning and you would utilize it to accomplish all that you desire in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.